Welcome to Critical Ditto, the Pokemon roleplay. I really went through the rate. Okay, this is a tester. Welcome to Critical Ditto, the Pokemon roleplaying podcast that we have created for you and you are audibly listening to. And I love you for that. Thank you. My name is Stuart. I'm running the game. I've got great range. And speaking of great range, I'm here at the shooting range. And
the shooting range. Hello.
Yeehaw, everybody. I'm here with my big old rifle and I'm taking some pot shots in a very safe, controlled, and some might say fun environment. I pass it to my instructor, my firearms instructor, Ali Hill, who knows everything there is to
this
know.
This is the intro on episode 99, where all the Americans listening to us laugh at us poor British people who don't know anything about firearms.
They're so desperately uncomfortable. There's a big part of me that wants to go, actually, it's archery. We're at Centre Parks. It's a nice...
You said guns.
Live ammunition? Guns, or is it clay pigeon? What are we doing?
It's
Ali,
live ammunition. This is live. The only way you're going to learn is if you possibly die.
Okay.
Spoken like a true instructor.
That's fair.
So you want to aim, Stu, right at that empathetic young man over there. You see where it says Kenny Mullet? You want to aim for him.
Yeah. Okay. I have to.
He will try and stop it with his poker powers, but he will fail. And if you miss him, you could aim for one of his Pokemon.
Oh.
Yeah. So you could aim for the Decidueye called Bowtie. You could aim for the Gyarados called Moustache. Yep. You could aim for the Salazzle called Hoops. Or you could aim for the Spiritomb called Swirly. There are some other ones, but you shot them already. So they're already gone. They're no longer relevant.
I'm not doing too badly then, am I?
No.
Okay.
Pretty well. You are good at this. We've got a streaker. On the pitch?
This is a kink. Guys, it's actually really awkward, but the thing is that 4Kids actually censored me doing the shooting. So they got to me and they changed all of my guns to fingers, but they also changed all of my other appendages to guns. It was kind of a weird law of equivalent exchange. I didn't realize. So basically, think I'm streaking, but this is a cry for help. I'm like Chainsaw Man.
Eldritch horror right now.
Oh my gosh. With every step he's firing. Oh my gosh. I can't look away.
Looks like somebody's been reading my Grindr profile. And on the subject of hilarious Grindr profiles, imagine how hilarious Theo's would be, the head of the Church of Slowking. And on Theo's team, there is a Medicham. There is a Honchcrow traded from Kenny. There is a Slowpoke. There is an inexplicable return-to-life Kabuto with the shared soul of a Skitty. And then also some targets that were knocked out before the American cartoon company could cut my episode. RIP the Safari Zone. Oh, and there's also Tom, who I'm sure is going to have a crazy spin on the idea of guns.
Not at all, David. You get back here. It's me, the 4Kids lawyer, and we have to clean this up now. There has been a huge mistake on the Coleman floor. Quick, everyone throw jam donuts at the blood on the ground so we can just cover it up with jam. It's jam, kids. It's just jam. Oh, do you know what? I'll bring in our hotshot pitbull attorney, Brandy. She's an ex-cheerleader of the Pokemon champion, and she's got a Lopunny called Wimpy, and she's got a Bunnelby called Dr. Bunnelby, PhD. And that's it. That's it. A new gun range owner.
Oh, me? Am I the owner?
Well, I assume so. You're wearing a 4Kids gun range shirt. So all the kids think this
full
gun range is for them.
Full gear of 4Kids.
Yeah.
come. Yeah. Oh, man. How did this happen?
So you said range and then you just went insane. And that's how that happened.
That tends to be happened. Just like what happened last time.
Previously on Critical Ditto. The battle for Formia begins. Not in the corporeal world, but in true Critical Ditto fashion, inside a mind palace. Brandy and Kenny's shared memory of the Flash Mullet was attacked by a nightmarish version of Frey. While Kenny and Gyarados focused on keeping everyone safe and steering the ship towards their target of the Crescent Moon, Brandy felt the full weight of the power surrounding her. As Frey displaced Brandy's memories with false versions of herself in a desperate attempt to bond with her, Stu displaced Tom's Kamoa with nothing, as Brandy had abandoned him back in the tree, regardless of any donut explosions she thought she saw. The duo eventually reached the distant Crescent Moon and escaped, but only with help from Theo, separated from the pair in Frey's actual mind palace. They found Frey on the brink of accepting the disastrous deal with the Darkrai inside of her. However, Theo's delicacy, kindness, and wisdom resonated with this version of Frey. So much so that she rejected her nightmare and bonded with Theo. She bonded so completely, however, that she found herself unable to break the bond back in the real world. At this, the malevolent dark ray Frey had been keeping at bay exploded out of her, ready to unleash its nightmare upon Formia.
Formia quakes. Huddled masses across the region cling to each other. The city dwellers of Tapu Dabi breathe stale air in bunkers beneath the city. The crackling live feeds showing the destruction around the Pokemon League, their only window into an outside world. In the farmlands around Comeover Town, villagers and Pokemon alike have sought shelter in the basements of public houses or schools, sharing space with barrels of Pupitar ale and food reserves. Bug Pokemon who would normally call these cellars their home chitter in the gloom, irritated by these unwanted guests. The minds of Neubatten have been overwhelmed by a deluge of displaced souls, those who could not reach the central conclave of the Church of Slarslow, and have chosen instead to hide themselves deep within the cliffs of the craggy peaks south of the Hitmonlea Mountains. Like metapods pupating within their cocoons, they wait for news. Neubat wings beat above them, their anxious breaths echo in the cavernous darkness. And along the coast, a chill air akin to the coming of a storm has blown through abandoned seaside towns. Shutters are raised, not to the wind, but to a similarly malicious, unseen force. A feeling of nightmarish dread, unknown but felt. The charge that lifts the hairs on the back of your neck. Something dreadful was coming, if not already here, and Formia was powerless to stop it. All they could do was hope. Concrete reports from the Pokemon League ceased soon after the championship battle between Bashfalutin and Gary Smoke had concluded. All live feeds had died as something catastrophic seemed to have happened to the roof of the stadium. A few old souls, too stubborn to leave their houses in the suburbs around the league, would have seen smoke continuing to rise from the burning complex. Fires sparked by the fighting between Team Mystic and League Class trainers, as well as lightning strikes from the terrible tempest that had briefly enveloped the skies above. The fighting between Team Mystic and the League still rages, but they are no longer fighting each other. Instead, both forces have been overwhelmed by the appearance of organic pods that explode from the ground, attached to vast vines and roots. The pods spew forth an endless stream of otherworldly beasts, beasts with no other intention but to destroy. The shouts of trainers and Poképowered alike are carried by the wind, sharp, shrill. They are cries of panic, not battle. They will not last long. Inside the League, the paladins and church members who had accompanied Adri Famonsk into battle via the portals are routed. Those not defeated by the Ultra Beasts flee to cover, dragging wounded limbs behind them. They are the lucky ones. The special defenders fare no better. Their brave bulwark is broken, the last stand long since expired. "Anyone else wounded?" Adri cries. As with Ellie, the Manectric's help, they lurch themselves up into the remains of a second-story food court where the remnants of the special defenders have holed up. Barnaby Timms and Hedrold cower until they see Adri enter as opposed to a bloodthirsty Buzzwole. Their relief is temporary, though, as they come to terms with the sight of Adri. Braids undone, glasses shattered. Blood has started pooling at the wrist hem of their robe, suggesting a terrible wound in their arm.
"Adri, what happened?"
Hedrold cries. Adri ignores Hedrol's comment and the pallid, nausea-filled face of Barnaby Timms. A few other paladins lurk in the gloom with the pair, their shoulders sagged, their faces a picture of defeat. "Where is everyone? Hannah gave the order to retreat to the mall. Is she not here?"
"We were wondering the same," Barnaby croaks.
"We haven't seen Aster since she was sucked into that black portal," Hedrol remarks, attempting composure. "The beasts attacking us seemed distracted by the portal, so we took our chance to escape here. As for the others..."
He trails off. Adri stands stunned. The blood that had been pooling in the material of their robe starts to drip to the floor.
"Sloking above, we are losing."
The cry of a Porygon Zed, still remarkably conscious, heralds the arrival of Heron. Heron rides astride the digital being, who swoops into the food court with a distorted buzz. Draped over the Pokemon is the less conscious form of Gary Smoke, who groans in discomfort. Even after hours of intense fighting and a championship battle to boot, his pristine hair remains as disciplined and unfettered as a phalanx platoon. Heron dismounts and stumbles.
His seeking mask clings to his skin in patches, and he talks too loudly, as if his hearing has still not returned after the Blacephalon detonation.
He was the only one I could find. I thought the others might have found their way here.
This is everyone, Adru replies limply. Heron's face drains.
Then where is my sister?
We cut to the inside of a Guzzlord, where we find Bash and Hannah.
Dead.
Accepting their fate within okay. the vast digestive tract of another worldly monster. Who would like to join me as Bash?
Go on. Why not? What's Bash's voice? Stuart Clarke's standard female voice?
Yeah.
Good.
If you could just, match my cadence. Exactly.
Hello, it's me, Stuart Clarke, female voice.
That's a really odd thing to say when we're in the gut of a Guzzlord, Bash.
Sorry, what, they were my...
Who even is Stuart Clarke?
He was my elocution teacher.
Okay.
Yeah. That was me, but I died years ago.
Oh man.
You were eating how did he get in here?
God, was he a league? He must have been part of the league, I guess.
Yeah, he was, of course. Only the best elocution teacher for me. It would be league-approved elocution lessons.
Yeah.
They had to have 8 gym badges as a minimum to teach me how to speak like this.
What did you used to sound like, Bash? You might as well share it now that we're stuck in here.
Well, it was very distinct. It was
Give
it
the flavour.
Okay, a little flavour of
the old
Bash. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Been ready for a while.
Because once you hear it, you can't unhear it. Okay?
Stop stalling. I don't know much about Ultra Beasts. In fact, I know nothing about Ultra Beasts except how to kill them. I've killed a lot of them in the last few hours. But if legends are to be believed, we've got a few hours in here before the juices really start.
Can you promise me that you won't ever do an imitation of this?
Bash, who am I going to share that with?
Well, obviously everyone, because you know everyone I know. It's not like we have to... Hannah, you're my friend. Like, is that crazy?
Hear the Guzzlord say, "For the love of God, do the voice." I swear on Slow King, I will take an antacid.
I will
speed this up. Don't make me come in there.
Look, I'm just... Okay, here we go.
It's me, Bash. How's it going?
Oh, that's weird. That's really weird.
I know, it's weird, right?
You sound like an idiot.
What? Oh, well, I know.
I put you on speaker.
Who would have this voice exactly? It's crazy, all right? So it would be easier if I could just speak like this, okay? And that's how I was taught by Stuart Clarke, greatest elocution teacher the league has ever seen, but also was eaten by an ultra beast. I missed that part of his story, but poor guy.
You know that voice, right, Matt? You know who you sound like, right?
Well, I sound like me from the past, obviously.
Yeah, okay, fine.
What do you mean?
No, do you know what?
I sound like a bat? Yeah, sure. I sound like a weird
Noibat. An old bat,
exactly, which I do not want to sound like.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bash, it's weird, it's funny, it's slightly uncomfortable how uncanny it is that you sound like her, but I'm not going to share it.
Good, I'm glad you're not going to share it. Doesn't matter, we're dead anyway, so.
We are dead, maybe, but you know what? You're right, we're our friends. No, we're more than
maybe
that.
Maybe about it. Definitely dead. Not coming up now.
We'll see you when we're poop. All right, bye. Yeah. Bye, Guzzlord.
I'll see you. You'll be dead.
This guy sucks.
Yeah, I really... I didn't want to go out to
How do we get in here? How did this smuck of a Guzzlord swallow us, the two most competent special defenders?
Well, I think we saved everyone else. I think that was how it went. But again, you know what? I don't regret it, Hannah. I don't regret getting eaten by a Guzzlord. I didn't think I'd say that in my life.
I don't regret anything either. It's weird for a 10-year-old to be staring death in the face and have time to think about it.
Hannah, you are the strongest person I've ever met.
I'm really not. I'm really not. I'm just a person who's been thrust into a series of events and has dealt with them as best I can. And I've made mistakes, Bash, because for the longest time, I didn't trust Kenny.
What?
Didn't trust him. And I held onto this kernel, this feeling that I just couldn't shake, that maybe deep down he was a monster.
Bash reaches for a side knife. Do you know what Tom Dale likes to do? He likes to kill characters in vignettes without...
With side knives, apparently.
Tom's so about side knives
at the moment. Just shiving all the characters in all the episodes. No, I didn't trust him. And there was a moment...
It's not okay.
There was a moment where I didn't trust him, and that could have ruined everything. I know I was wrong. He is not a monster. Poka powers are not monsters. They're just people. And I very nearly became a monster. And the person who talked me down from that? Kenny. If that's not the truest indication that my philosophy was wrong, I don't know what is. So yeah, I might be about to die, but I don't have any regrets. And though my years are short, Bash, my experiences are long. And though my family is gone, the family I found will hopefully linger.
Well, you are a super smart 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Do you know what I am? I'm gonna claim that. I am. I'm smart, I'm tough, and I'm capable.
Can I tell you something, Hannah?
Please. I mean, I guess you're telling me and Guthlor. He clearly can hear every word we say.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, Guthlor, it's really nice to get to know you guys, actually. Normally people, I swallow them individually, so they just sort of like bang against my teeth. That explains all the rotting. Like, I brush. But...
Weirdly, Guthlor, we've been through worse than this. Like, this is a chill day.
You guys have had some bad lives.
To be honest, Guthlor, you've taken very good care of your gut here. Like, gut health is on point. But
I drink Yak Ultra Beast. It's
just outstanding. Just outstanding.
Everyone who's ever been eaten by Guthlor raises to a chorus of applause.
Absolutely. Everyone toasts the stomach acid. Like, wow.
But they've all got Yak Ultra Beast in their hand as they toast.
They all wink at the camera. Hannah, as we're going to die, can I share something with you?
Please.
I was quite happy being boring. It's only since meeting Brandy, Kenny, Theo, you, that I feel like I was so trapped. I was so ignorant of what was out there, and I've never actually felt happier myself. And do you know what the best thing is? Meeting all of you has brought Heron and I closer than I think we've ever been in our entire lives. And I genuinely think, which is crazy to think that a year ago, I think I could have disappeared without a trace and Heron wouldn't have even noticed. But now we've really got each other's backs. And my mum's not around anymore, but one of the things she always used to say was when we were kids was like, oh, I wish you two would just get on. Stop fighting. Stop bickering. Heron, be nicer to your sister. Heron, help your sister do this. Heron, make sure your sister's eating properly. Make sure she's gets to school on time. And I just don't think Heron liked me. And I think my mum really wanted us to get along. And so it's kind of weird that right at the end, I feel like we've actually fulfilled my mum's wish. So I'm inside the stomach of a Guzzlord. And actually, I've never been happier. I managed to save my brother for once. I managed to, you know, help him. So
we do what we do for them. And Hannah gives Bash a huge embrace.
And then Bash ugly cries. And it's like, I really love you, mate. I just... God.
Yeah, let it go. Just let go of it. Be yourself.
I love you.
I love you too. And we're going to face this together, okay?
Yeah.
Whatever happens.
I love you both too, but I'm still going to swallow soon. Like, you're not getting out just because of the scene.
Not even through the power of improv?
No, I think the scene fades down. The scene fades down.
Thanks, G. That was a lovely scene.
No, thank you, mate. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know where that was going to go, but that
was
just
decided at the end of the podcast to be like, let's have a Bash Hannah scene. Love
it. Yeah. Guys, come on. Let's all thank David. Come on. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. As always.
In many ways, like Harold Pinter, it's the presence of silence that really brings the narrative together. You know, you gave a stomach as the setting. There wasn't a huge,
that's
huge
true.
Amount
We'd
of room.
Established everyone was dead.
I thought I would have crammed my way in.
Yes, you did, didn't you?
So we fade down on that, and the fate of Formia hanging in the balance, hanging on the actions of three people and several Pokemon. Actions which are being watched from a perspective. I will tell you what the perspective is, but first, Tom.
Yes.
I would like you to tell me how this particular point of view sees Brandy expertly dodging being sent into an endless slumber by a dark void.
I think Brandy, she feels that feeling of powerlessness and insignificance rising up. There's that voice in her head that is in all of everyone's head that says, you're not strong enough, you're not good enough, run, give up now. And one of the dark phrase, sort of tendrils lingers right in front of Brandy's face, and it becomes a sort of a pendulum.
Oh, nice.
And she can feel the hypnosis and then the voice getting...
Sleep.
And all of a sudden, bursting from Brandy's Pokeball is Dr. Bunnelby, PhD, who then whispers in Brandy's ear, awake and self-affirming mantras. You are strong. You are stronger than sleep. You don't need sleep. You are awake. You are always awake in your mind. You will never succumb to the darkness. Sleep is for evil people only. Bunnelby's really primal. See their pants.
They're giving you a caffeine suppository, really, is what they're doing.
And Brandy kind of snaps out of it. And just as the pendulum is about to wrap round Brandy's throat, she expertly, even though she's in pain, does a cheerleader acrobatic backflip away, sliding back along this, whatever it is, sort of stony, hickory floor, and takes up another stance.
But in a super anime
yes,
way,
exactly.
Does an incredibly difficult thing, but then just clutches her side to show that she's still hurt. Yeah.
Still eyes sort of fear, but Bunnelby's now on her shoulder, whispering positive affirmations in her ear, which she doesn't understand because she doesn't speak Bunnelby.
Nice. This is all happening simultaneously because this is a legendary creature of Nightmare and therefore has legendary actions, and she can just move at all times. So Theo, what strategic thing is Theo attempting to try and subdue one of the dark tendrils?
Theo is inspired by their decision to set Cornelius and Elaine against each other, is currently attempting to confuse Ray, a bunch of the tendrils, to attack each other.
Nice. Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, don't say attempting. This is happening. I'm giving you this.
Oh,
this is for
great.
Free. This is
great,
for free.
Yeah.
These actions are just you looking cool.
So we're wearing sunglasses.
Yeah. Theo is like, there's a huge swirl of confused ray just surrounding a sort of selection of these tendrils, and they are all just going at each other instead of going towards Theo, who is quite frankly amazed this works because this confused ray has had a very low success rate.
Theo being like, don't I usually roll? God dang, I'm good. I have leveled up.
Finally, this point of view sees Kenny from a particular vantage point. What superhuman feat does this point of view see you achieving in great battle with Darkfrey?
Killing Darkfrey, I believe.
I feel like Darkrey is almost Gigantamax. I feel like they're huge right now.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
The image in the room that I'm picking up. And I feel like Kenny...
Do you know what? I'm going to describe her appearance more in a second. But it's almost like the human form of Frey is still there as the human size, but everything around it is this vast Gigantamax tendril form. You know what I mean?
Kenny is channeling some poker-powered energy through himself into his Pokemon so that they basically match the size.
Nice. Okay,
so,
great.
So if Darkrai is towering over them, I will send out... let's send out Gyarados. Why not? Let's go big. So you see Serpentine form expanding and enlarging and getting bigger and bigger. But Kenny's eyes are full crescent moon, and that is reflected in Gyarados' eyes as well. So sick. Both Kenny and Gyarados, and all of the Pokemon that Kenny uses in this scene, they don't have the normal eyes that they normally have. Where there would be eyes, it's just a crescent moon.
Oh, Kenny, I cannot tell you how happy I am you've said that.
Well, because I feel like it might have to happen. So.
Do you know what the point of view is? Do you know what we're seeing through?
Dark Ken?
Dark Ken.
Ditto's in the corner like, oh.
I thought this was my time.
I thought it was me. It's like an onlooker.
Watch the scenes that you've described unfold in the Sanctum of Solitude from behind Kenny's crescent moon eyes. Dark Ken? No. Surely I cannot be associated with whatever that monstrosity is. I see Dark Frey in all her twisted glory. Dark tendrils of undulating black wrap her in a prison-like embrace, squeezing the last drops of humanity, whatever is left of her organic form, like a sandaconda encouraging a squovit to take its final gasping breath. Occasionally, a single azure eye flashes across the surface of the tendrils, as if Darkrai itself, the creature within, rides them like a current. The Darkrai's face is harrowing, A nightmarish afterimage of a human face, locked in a screen. Eyes a burnt white, with spectral wisps of energy leaking from whatever used to be Frey's tear ducts. Her fingers and toes are cracked, leaking dark sludge. It pools beneath her if she hovers in one space too long. The once white hair is jet black, more sludge bubbling at her crown and leaking down her face like cheap dye. It is horrifying. So why can I not look away? Why do I feel a kinship with this wretched monster? I am not Dark Ken. I am Cresselia. I reaffirm myself. I am dreams, ambition, the beauty of knowledge and the pursuit of the ideal. I want. What do I want? I see the eyes that allow me the vision of the world, the human I inhabit, my partner. What do we want? I start to wilt within Kenny. Fear begins to bleed into the mind palace. So many questions exist where once had been certainty. Kenny's words echo for me, at once gentle and booming. Trust that people will learn from the answers life gives them. Not be terrified by them. The answers do terrify me, Kenny. Because part of me remembers. And I do not want to learn anymore. We should not have come here. What do I want? I want to hide. I want to escape. I will not confront this reality. I'm sorry. I want to live in the dream. Kenny, you hovering off the floor, fueled with power, infusing it into your Pokemon, the crescent moon becoming you, one with it, suddenly feel yourself crash to the floor. You're racked with a sudden weakness, as if the strength and power you have been building, discovering, learning about for the last few months is suddenly ripped away. The Kenny you knew become less. There's an emptiness in your head. And you realize Cresselia is not there.
Oh God.
Wait, I'm cashing in the Kenny fail.
Oh no.
I've lost my poker powers.
I'll see you. You'll be dead.
Have we got one, Tom?
Yes, we have one.
How big is it?
Not massive.
Matron.
David's perked up.
No, I'm just, you know, it's, what is it? It's 6'12". I'm confused. Why are you here?
I'm here because yours is too small.
Oh.
Yeah, that would be my fault.
Well, I told you this.
I keep chipping away at it.
Is that what you've been doing at night?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I was worried you were having an affair. So actually, I suppose that's better.
Oh, he was.
Oh, yeah. Both are true.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, we're all here now. I guess...
Tape measures out. Hey, welcome to the midsection. That was kind of weird, but we're here now.
Is that going to be our potentially penultimate midsection that we ever do?
Might be the last midsection entry ever.
It could be. This could be the last episode. How mad is that? Well, depending on where you are and whatever's happening, like, oh my God, good luck. So this midsection is from Vivi Sunset 89. Vivi Sunset writes, good morning, evening or afternoon. Here's my character concept. And I love character concepts like this. Name, Aria. Occupation.
Opera.
Occupation, food historian. Location, Pecan region, Magnolia City. Skin color, brown. Eye color, purple. Hair, tightly curled black hair. Pokemon, Espeon, Vulpix, Dashbun, Alcremie, Lapras, and Dragonair. Aria is from Magnolia City, a city along the banks of the largest river in the Pecan region. Not only is Magnolia known for its river, but it's also its rolling hills and delectable food scene. Aria is travelling to the Formia region for research. On her journey, she is accompanied by her Vulpix, Evolio, who recently gained all of her 6 tails. An Espeon named Smax, who helps Aria navigate with his psychic powers because she has no directional awareness. Her other 4 Pokemon are listed above.
And not as important.
I think we should start with her Lapras. Let's start there.
Yeah, okay. Because
if we're gonna...
how she got to Formia, right?
Okay, great. Lapras is done.
Lapras is done.
I thought there would be more. Thought there'd be more to say about them, but no. We're done. It's transport. Pure transport.
So first, I want to make the connection here. Like, why has she come to Formia for food history? Like, who is it in Formia who's good with food?
We have the world's best restaurant floating on a river, don't we?
Oh my god, yes, of course. We got Fishy Swaz.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What a pull.
Fishy Swaz.
If Scotch Mallet hadn't been in there, I would not remember it.
Of course. So maybe that's where they're going.
How easy is it to find Fishy Swaz?
Very difficult. Well, this is why she had to catch a Lapras, just so that she had something to travel the waves with.
Well, that's
thank
it.
You Ali. Thank you.
You cannot get a boat to Fishy Swaz. You have to access it yourself.
Here's an awkward thing about it is Lapras actually escaped Fishy Swaz. Lapras was going to be on the menu.
Oof, that is a big dinner.
Oh, so that's why the Lapras knows where Fishy Swaz is, because it was almost a dish.
Dishy Swaz.
Maybe Ari is going on an undercover mission because it's illegal to eat Lapras because they're so rare.
Oh, kind of
shocking. That actually, maybe she's a... Sorry, I know we make all of our midsection characters undercover cops, but she's a food cop. Aria is a food researcher turned cop. What other rare Pokemon would you eat at Fishy Swaz?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes. So they were cooking Galarian Corsola. Not even a live Corsola, like a dead soul-reading...
Maybe you eat the Corsola in the first round.
Yeah, first course is the Corsola. Second Corsola is the Galarian Corsola.
Oh my god.
It comes back
around. You've got to say though, Vishy Swaz, that is genius. That is so cost-effective.
So who is this mad chef who's cooking the ghosts of Corsolas? A real villain to try and cook the undead.
It's Drill.
It's Drill?
Yeah.
So Vivian Drill.
Is that
Vivian Drill? So Vivi was an undercover agent for the Pokemon League, and when Drill found this out, heartbroken, the only way he could express himself was to go out and kind of express his trauma through food. So he then has gone to Fishy Swaz and has created this new menu. So he started again as a porter, kitchen porter at Fishy Swaz, and everyone's like, who's this guy, Drill? And then he started creating stuff in the off hours, creating these crazy dishes out of illegal ingredients, and the head chef tasted them and died. But died of pleasure.
Right.
And
as
is the right of Fishy Swaz, the right of ascension, if you kill the chef with food, you become king
there
of Fishy Swaz.
There can only be one. Yeah.
Indeed.
Okay, so Aria is on the hunt for Fishy Swaz and Drill, who in an act of revenge is now cooking rare meats, rare fish, Pokemon specifically.
I'm so glad we could wrap up that crucial character of Critical Ditto canon.
It's good because I was worried about what would happen to Drill in the new
Ghoul Bar. But he is inviting Vivi. That's the idea, is that he will get his revenge.
Oh, for the final dish.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
What, Vivi is in Vivi Sunset?
Oh my gosh!
That's why I assumed you went for Drill, because the listener is Vivi Sunset.
Steal your face. You didn't realize that.
I can only imagine it's a Vivi stan from Critical Ditto, not a Vivi of Final Fantasy IX stan, obviously. I don't think they exist.
What are the chances then, Stu, of you referencing Drill when our listener was Vivi?
Well, here's hoping that insert listener character name here can save
Aria.
He's hoping that Aria can save the person who created them, Vivi herself, from certain death at the bottom of the Archipelago Island Sea. Because we'll never know. Maybe we'll put in the epilogue.
Maybe
Vivi
died. I can tell you right now, we won't.
Well, thank you very much, Vivi Sunset. What a good, possibly final midsection to end on, I think. Wrapping up some characters back at Fishy Swaz, David's favourite place in Formia. And obviously stumbling onto a big conspiracy to destroy it. If you have a midsection character, my condolences.
Tough.
Because
keep it to yourself.
We don't want them. We do want them. Of course, we love to read them, and you can still send them. The email will be open forever. Can you close an email address? I've never tried. But you can do it at criticalditto@gmail.com. We don't have any champion tier suggestions, so just join the Patreon at the champion tier level, and you could
be the last ever midsection.
Yeah.
That is up for grabs.
That's something you could tell your grandkids about.
That really is, yeah.
Right?
Mm. Yeah.
In fact, we are doubling the price of our patron.
So valuable.
It's now available as an NFT. Okay. So I think that was an adequate length. I don't know how the rest of you all thought about it.
Yeah, a couple of little cuts here and there, and it'll be all right. I can't stop shortening things. things.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Because mine was too long and I felt deeply ashamed.
Yeah, that's why I cheated on you.
This is just really, really hard one for me, I think.
Who's that Pokemon?
I'll see you. You'll be dead.
It's Guzzlord.
Great, guys, Dora's awake. Let's just go. Let's leave now.
Mission accomplished.
Cresselia is missing in action.
Okay. Can I go back on what I said about making my Pokemon big? I actually meant Kenny fashions incredible weapons that he fires immediately. And then
600 ruler swords suddenly fly at Darkfrey.
I like that in that
Brandy's
scene.
Like, nice.
I like that in that scene, just behind Cresselia having this existential crisis, is Tuki and Pete being like, "Hey, bud, are you okay? Like, do you need a drink?"
Oh man, they're not right, are they?
No. Do we need to get them a? I don't know.
I'm just excited. I'm excited to see where this is going.
Oh, where'd they go?
Oh, they're gone. What does that mean for us?
Are we the Poke Powers again?
I guess. Oh, let's try and give Kenny our powers. Okay, Kenny, I'm going to give you 800 legs. Here we go.
Kenny, anytime you want to peck anyone with your nose, I'm right here.
It's going to be
right
super
here.
Hard. I won't lie, Tooks. I feel a bit lost myself. This
me
feels
too.
Odd. The whole Mind Palace, what does it even look like now, Tooks? Tell me. Describe to me what this Mind Palace looks like now. Now it's empty.
Now it's completely empty.
I lose my Poke Powers and my Mind Palace description powers.
I know. Yeah. That's it.
Gone.
Wait, that's up
gone.
To me?
You're just a dude now, man.
I'm just Ali. I'm not even Kenny right now.
I think suddenly the Mind Palace has just become it's just a series of shower cubicles and some just very buff Toucanons are all just taking a shower.
Oh, nice.
Tuki's like, oh.
In the real world, Kenny goes, it's not all bad.
Oh my.
Oh, our poor boy. Our poor boy.
Kenny.
Is he all right? Okay, we look out at Kenny. What's going on?
So I think Kenny has a moment of absolute fear, just pure horror. Like, his poker powers have been his shield for so long, quite literally.
It's part of you. I know.
It is part of me, and this whole journey has been reclaiming himself as someone with his poker powers. That is who he is. For a second, he feels like a swordsman has just lost his or her arm, not even their sword. And he has this moment of introspection and then looks up at the room and sees Gyarados readying a hydro pump to fire at Darkrai. Sees Brandy backflip out of the way of some tendrils and sees Theo manipulate some other tendrils to fight themselves. And inside he says, I've repeatedly said that my strength comes from my friends. I don't need to be scared. We still got each other. Come on, Kenny, get back up. Get back up. And he stands to his feet and sort of like takes a shaky step forward. We sort of jokingly said in a couple of episodes ago that Kenny is like hovering a little bit, almost imperceptibly off the ground. Mm-hmm. And Kenny's now actually aware of that. He's like, oh, I haven't felt like the earth properly
for
a while. It's a bit weird. And then he goes, but I like walking on the ground. This isn't so bad. and he goes, you have learnt battle strategy from Theo. You have learnt bravery from Brandy. Together, you're going to achieve great things, with or without your poker powers.
Okay, Kenny, a tendril dark pulse is coming directly for you. What do you do?
Well, I said Gyarados was readying a hydro pump.
Oh,
so,
yeah, baby. Here we go.
In fact, Kenny shouts out, Mustache, hydro pump! Towards
the trainer
comes into
yes.
play.
Yeah.
Guys,
on.
It took me 99 episodes, but I'm finally a Pokemon trainer.
Yes. Ali's doing a Pokemon battle.
I'm
like, going to
try and
crazy.
Knock out Kenny's Pokemon. Here we go.
Freaking out. Was the last time you versus Salad on the train in the 20s?
Oi. I guess it was fighting all of the primes, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I've had Pokemon battles.
Yeah. Okay, plus two, roll plus two for this hydro pump.
I rolled a 6 plus a 2, so an 8.
Oof.
So it, it...
Mixed success, but we are going to do damage to each other. So let's work this out. I'm going to work out the Darkrai stuff.
Just you adding zeros to it. That's 1,500.
Okay, so let's say Darkrai is a stage 5. We haven't had a stage 5.
Oh my god!
This is our big. Sure. This is our big boss.
I mean, all our Pokemon are going down if they're being hit. Surely
this is Darkrai. So the base power is 5, but Dark Pulse is not super effective. And Gyarados is what, stage 3? Are we saying that's the limit for a for a trainer Pokemon? So it's, oh god. So yeah. So it's 7 plus a D4.
It's going down then. Whatever happens.
So Gyarados will go down. But this feels, you know what? It's fine. This is the final boss. But you're going to do some damage back. So I'm not going to roll the D4. Doesn't matter. But you tell me. You are stage 3.
Yeah.
Hydro Pump is not super effective against Darkrai. And you are lower than it. So it's 1 plus a D4.
Okay. In that case, I'm going to need a big roll from you, D4. I got a three. Ooh, so a total of 4
damage.
4 damage.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will make a note of that. So, Ali, it's brutal. And as these tendrils have proven, I think this is the first big hit of the battle. There's been a lot of parrying and dodging, but finally the tendrils are going to connect. And I think the tendrils are going to connect because the tendrils are going straight for Kenny. And Mustache the Gyarados, artistically minded, creatively minded, instantly senses that something's wrong with you. Not wrong with you, but something's different, Kenny. And it's like, the Kenny I know would be able to fly out the way of that. But suddenly sees you walking, suddenly sees the struggles, as if your footsteps are paint strokes, and they're no longer graceful, impressionistic stances. These are full thwacks of the brush, pop art style, bang, into the ground. And he's like, my boy, I must dive in, and fires the Hydro Pump, but also goes to intercept the tendril at the same time. And it absolutely breaks through his soft, fishy flesh on the underside and rams him behind you into the Sanctum of Solitude. He skids, and he's a large lad, skids through the sludge behind you, Kenny. He creates a small tidal wave of sludge behind him and falls to the floor. But you can see that the Hydro Pump has also connected with Darkrai and has knocked off a bit of black tendrily sludge from their shoulder region and revealed more of Frey's decayed form within. It's done damage, but unfortunately, Mustache the Gyarados has gone down in that hit.
Mustache!
I'm sorry, Kenny.
Don't apologize. The last little remnant of Pokepower is in me translated that. You have nothing to apologize for. You're so brave. You're so strong. Come back and rest.
Create something beautiful.
Me and Pete speak Gyarados, so that's how you know.
Oh, nice. Kenny, can you hear us? Kenny?
Yes, I can.
Oh Pete.
Well, at least I can still hear someone.
Pete, he can hear our voices. We haven't been relevant in decades. What's going on?
I'm really liking second from the left in the shower cubicle.
Time. Sorry. Don't be time, Tukey.
Oh, Kenny, you can hear us. Yes, we've still got powers, Kenny. You can fly.
Listen, Tooks, let's not promise things we can't.
Okay,
we can.
You might be able to float.
Remember who we are. We are regular Pokemon that got sucked in here by Cresselia. We don't really know what the heck we're doing here.
But I wouldn't have it any other way, Pete.
But Kenny, listen, we want to help you, bud. We've been in here a long time and we've had some times. Sure, there was that moment where I sort of became really big and sort of almost destroyed your psyche. Didn't really know what I was doing there.
No, I like to think that was because I didn't understand myself. But I do. I understand you both now.
Well,
I know. I need both of you. Just like I need both of Theo and Brandy. So, when I call upon you for help, just be ready to help.
All right, mate. We'll do what we can.
Oh, these two canon boys, I must say.
Doki! Get your head in the game.
All right, I'll be ready.
Meanwhile, Brandy, what horrendous attack is coming towards you and Dr. Bunnaby?
Oh, it's really dark, this.
Why would it have terrified the Brandy of episode 1? But if you've got...
Sounds like it's going to terrify the Brandy of episode 9.
Yeah. I think... I'm imagining sort of the Darkrai exoskeleton, as it were, sort of thing. Just opening up and we're seeing just sort of the sort of kind of weird puppet body of Frey, Darkrai, sort of there.
Yeah.
And I think...
Darkrai is going to use the move Fling, and it's just going to fling the puppet of Frey at Brandy.
Right, okay, that's horrible.
It's not in a comical way. It's in a very sort of shrouded in pure dark energy. It's like a sort of rocket just heading straight for Brandy. And Brandy, this would have terrified Brandy at any point, you know, especially before. But even now, she feels herself, her feet kind of glued to the ground, her injury kind of throbs. Her heart's racing and she's sort of saying in her head, do something, please do something. And again, I want another Pokeball to burst open. And this time it's going to be Lopunny, who is going to suddenly, quick as a flash, just drag Brandy away from the flung Frey. So
Okay, roll for Lopunny then.
Lopunny, created advantage.
Yes, plus speed, thank you.
It's a plus three for speed, which is good. 5, 5, 10, plus three, 13.
Good, good, good.
That's Pokemon champion yes. Wimpy to you.
This is it. Come on.
One Pokemon left, you need to be rolling those every single
Dice,
time.
Dice, you want
to
break up Honey and Asta? You give us this finale, okay? Give us this finale board.
Tom, describe Wimpy the Lopunny in all his glory performing this incredible move.
Wimpy bursts free, just in their sort of normal form, still they themselves injured, and they wrap their ears around Brandy's waist, almost in the sort of, as the red data of the Pokemon is sort of digitizing into existence, you see it wrap around Brandy and drag her just off as Frey's flings straight past Brandy as like, parallel to the ground, and then seems to wrap all the way around and she's back in Dark Frey's.
Oh, like the tendrils follow after and then this drag. Yeah, gross.
Drag her back in. Lopunny slaps Brandy with an ear.
Lopunny!
You're the Pokemon champion. Remember that. Lopunny puts their ear on Brandy's kind of heart in that point.
Lopunny.
Ultimate trust between Pokemon trainer. And Brandy just feels this weird, like, euphoria, like she... The create advantage gives you something, right?
Yeah.
Gives you something. It's like, put the way you want them.
Nice.
And then I'm going to take a plus one going forward because of Brandy's kind of confidence here.
Great.
You know what? I should be scared of you. But like what we've done, what me, Theo, Kenny, what we've done, like that's been scary. Like going through memories in the Mind Palace of everything in my life. Like I remembered actually what scary is. Scary things like the look on your mum's face when you tell her that you're going to war and she doesn't believe that you're going to come back. Watching your mentor die to save you from your own terrible plan just because they believe in you. The moment you get an email from a boy who broke your heart. I think Brandy looks then at Theo and says, having a real argument with someone you love. And Brandy looks at Kenny, doubting someone you love. Like those are scary things and it ain't you, mate. I realise you can only be scared when you care. And I don't care about you. My soul's actually pretty bound up already. It's tied to Kenny, to Theo, to the special defenders, even Heron. It's tied to him. It's tied to everyone all over Formia who think this crazy zero government Wild West nation is their home. And I feel like for the first time ever, thanks to Kenny and Theo and everyone else, I believe that my life is worth fighting for. And Brandy whips out the Destiny Bond lantern that had in her pack.
Oh no. Whoa.
Oh, God. This is
so much of the episode left. Tom, no.
I was going to use this to bind our souls together, to tie myself to you so that, like, when you inevitably killed me, I'd at least take you along for the ride.
Kenny and Theo at this point perk up. What?
Yeah,
what
was that? Guys,
Brandon, wait, what?
Folks, I will, I promise, I'll explain. I'll go with
you. Yeah, if you could, mate. Great.
I told myself I wanted to do this because it was for the region, but that's not true. I was scared. Scared that I was going to be nothing down here. No use at all. And because you took my dad from me and I wanted revenge. But that's exactly what Frey did. She tied herself to you because her dad got taken away from her. And that was the thing that defined her whole life. Losing my dad and
Growing up without him is the worst part of my life. It's a part of me, but it's not all there is. And if I bind my soul to you here, I make it that I've bound myself to the worst part of my life. I shut everything else away, all the good, the bad, the great, it's all gone. If I bind myself to you, I'm telling you that my life isn't worth anything. All I'm good for is to die. We had a motto in our family, or sort of a catchphrase for the shop. Life is a better deal than death. I said that back in the rain dance arc. I think I finally believe it. I'm not giving you my life, Darkrai. You'll have to take it. And she throws the Destiny Bond lantern away.
Okay.
I think at that point, Lopunny is going to mega evolve. Yeah, Brandy, like.
What does Lopunny do to give Darkrai something to be afraid of?
Darkrai's okay. Terrified of massive rabbits.
Imagine.
Oh, no.
No.
That's not that.
Not possible. Not bunnies.
Listen, it's a fighting type against a dark type, mate.
I was going to say.
Do I just go all in with a focus blast?
Ooh.
A special move.
The risky hit is a special move.
It's risky, and I know moves don't really mean anything in our game in terms of like...
No, but it still makes me anxious, even to think about it.
I think I want to go big, right?
Sure.
But instead I'm going to go focus punch, because that's an attacking move.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
And I've got plus one forward, so...
Plus one forward on
a
focus punch. Okay. The Dark Frey screams a silent scream. And fires more dark tentacly pulses towards you, defiant in your vast monologue. Let's see how it goes.
Come on. It's a 3 and a 4 for a 7, plus a 3.
Oh!
Lopunny is glowing, still mega evolving whilst dodging these tendrils, and you see the true partner Pokemon of the Pokemon champion in full swing. Like, their injuries are still there, but like it's not like they don't feel them. They are full serenity, leaf on the wind, like dodging these tendrils, running up them, and they come in and they go right onto the ribs where Frey seems to be like caged up, and just their braids and their two fists come together, so 4 sort of points of impact crack those ribs together as a focus punch comes in onto the Darkrai.
And let's work out the damage. Okay, so Wimpy as a Mega, is it stage 4?
Yeah.
Yes, Mega Stone. Okay, so that's 4. It's 5, so it goes down to 1-3. But it is super effective because it's a fighting type focus punch that you've said. So that is 4 plus a D4. It's going to be a huge hit. Come on, Wimpy.
Come
on. Give me a big D4. Give me a big one.
3. I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. 7 damage.
7 damage.
That's freaking huge.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a lot of damage. That is 11 damage taken by the Darkrai so far, which in our game is huge. It flies across the room. Theo, what do you see in the aftermath of this incredible punch? It comes together. It is like, I mean, it's like a One Punch Man punch from Wimpy. Its time stops as the impact happens, like a sonic boom. Everything goes quiet and then... Theo, what do you see the Darkrai flying past you? Crashing into the sludge somewhere near Gyarados. It's almost like you see an opening, Theo. You could get another hit in before it even responds. What do you do? How do you follow up?
Well, I think Theo is very inspired by seeing the success of a fighting-type Mega. And
Well,
if one works, let's do another.
And guys, I can do my
Kamo-o,
So I'm going to send out Medicham, and Medicham is going to Mega Evolve.
Medicham.
Without even asking.
Classic Theo and Medicham.
Such is the bond. Okay.
And Theo is going to say...
I hope you've heard your emotional speech, David, yeah? You've got your one about your journey so far and that you wouldn't change anything.
Yeah, did you not listen to the last episode?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Theo's done theirs. Theo's had it. You guys just didn't hear it.
Theo's completed their arc. Brandy's completed their arc. I can't wait till I complete my arc.
It's coming.
So exciting.
So Theo's going to go, Medicham, you know what to do. High jump kick.
Cham. Maybe Darkrai is still flying through the air, and it's almost like Medicham is trying to do a tornado kick and add to the blow as the Darkrai goes past. Yeah. Please roll plus physical.
Oh, God, this is a proper combo.
Yeah, it's a combo.
And then Ali's going to come in with a peck.
Big blast.
Okay, so I got so it's 5 plus a 3 plus a 3
for an 11.
So equal 11.
Great.
This is amazing. This is the float souls at the height of their powers. My God, and it's a beautiful sight. It's like the Sanctum of Solitude. It's like the sludge retreats a little from wherever you guys are standing, such as the power and the conviction with which you are acting and fighting. Please describe what this kick, this tornado kick from Mega Medicham looks like, Thea.
Medicham leaps so high into the air, this eternal, unvaulted, ceilingless Ikari room. And it is a spark in the air at this point. And then comes careening back down, sort of glowing with the sort of purple aura around their self-created paladin robes. And it is their stave and their leg that connects at the same time in a sort of like double blast to add to the four punches from Lopunny just moments before.
And as this hit connects, the power doubled. Darkfrey flies towards, it looks like they're flying towards that eye of the needle, that white slot that is never achievable, that is never there. And even though one could never reach the Eye of the Needle in the Sanctum of Solitude without making the necessary sacrifices, it's almost as if Darkfrey gets close, simply from the power of that hit. A speck, a dust, an explosion in the blackness, sludge flying as it crashes into the floor. Wounded, winded. Well, let's calculate the damage. So Mega Medicham, stage 4.
Yep.
Super effective, so it's 4 again, plus a d4, exactly the same as Lopunny.
Plus a d4, a 1. Well, you can't have them all.
Okay.
You didn't have a monologue, so...
I sort of thought we might. I thought we might be getting there, but that's okay. Absolutely okay.
In exchange for a monologue, could I do something whilst Medicham's in combat?
Please.
So Theo and Medicham, we've established that when one is doing something, the other is just
totally.
like you delegating. So what Theo wants to do is something that has just been reminded of by Brandy's monologue, and it's not the words. Theo gave up about
listening. Actually,
thank you. Classic.
Their name come up when and then immediately faded out, mainly because they were worried that Brandy was going to be murdered during it. But during it, Theo has just been reminded of the ditto. And Theo, now that Frey is not there, maybe ditto can in some way help us. And
okay,
it would
sure.
be quite nice if we could have a transformed ditto turn into a dark cry of ourselves, if I'm honest. That would be quite a handy
Okay.
So I'm going to try and speak compassionately to the ditto that was once my delightful Pucciana.
Oh,
companion.
Well, that's it. That's the form that the ditto has taken.
Are they looking like a sort of bruised sort of dog?
Like, pooch, Pucciana, pooch. And this poor ditto, this poor Pucciana is just lost. Their trainer is gone. Any semblance of control they might have had is now gone. They've seen horrifying, horrible things, and they are just lost. A lost pup.
Pucciana, ditto, whoever you are, can I ask you a favour? One last thing for the person that you fought against the Elite Four with? It would be really nice if you could transform into another Pokemon that's in this room. The massive one that might be about to kill us.
Pucciana? Roll plus charm.
Just when you thought the charm arc was
just
done.
Just when the charm arc was over, it drags you back in.
Oh,
the charm
God.
Epilogue.
I regret to inform you all, it is a 4 plus a 1 plus a 0 for a fail.
Ooh,
what a ditto. It turns into a dark ray and it's like, I'll team up with this dark ray and mess you guys up.
What is the fail? I'm thinking. You have something, Thea.
Yeah.
On your person.
Yeah.
You have a bow tie.
I do.
And within that bow tie is Kenny's blood. A remnant of himself, a remnant of his poker powers. Yeah. And we said that Cresselia has disappeared, is hidden somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they are in that...
it's David's slow...
verbal nods.
It's so funny.
Maybe the Cresselia has looked for the best available place to hide in the fewest moments that they have, and has hidden within that bow tie, and in this moment, maybe the Pucciana reacts poorly to you, is overcome with emotion, because what it does is it activates every single HM on its person. Everything that you gave it, it just goes and fires out a surf, fires out a strength, fires out a rock smash, just everything. The terrain around the black sludge where you Theo and the ditto are is suddenly fraught with incredibly powerful and destructive moves. And actually, it looks like you're about to be hit, Theo. You're about to be hit by a combination of surf, strength, like every HM under the planet from Gem 1 to Gem 9 is going to hit you until you are sucked within the bow tie. You are taken within the bow tie.
Right.
Honestly, I kind of expected this to happen this episode.
We'll come back to you.
Theo just disappears.
Theo just disappears. Straight
classic
up disappears.
Theo. A different parallel dimension every arc.
The second time in this arc, Theo just disappears into a mind palace. And we'll come back to them. We will come back to them shortly. Kenny, you see this happen. You can't miss the cacophony of HMs that explodes behind you. The ditto is lost within the explosion. We don't know what's happened to that ditto, but all you see is the remnants of this. The water, the tidal wave surges towards you and laps across your feet that now plant firmly on the ground. You can't hover over that anymore, Kenny. And your eye is distracted. You saw Theo dash over there. Theo is no longer there. All that is left is this bow tie, I guess, on the floor, which I don't even know if you knew Theo
next
had.
Next to the Destiny Bond lantern.
Next Kelly's to the Destiny,
like,
Bond lantern.
Kelly's like, what the hell are these things?
These are archaic implements. What's going on?
Maybe if I combine them both.
But
I could get the Destiny bow tie.
But there's no time. There's no time to think about that, Kenny, because we're coming at you with another attack. And the Dark Fray uses the cover of the HMs, one final gift from its ditto, to try and attack you surreptitiously. It dives into the sludge, into the floor, and swims towards you like that dark ray sharpedo that was in the Mind Palace. Suddenly it's within the floor, the Dark Fray, rising. Like Fray's weird crumbling body is just rising in and out of the sludge like a porpoising whale lord. And it's going to come and try and get to you from below and pull you under. What do you do?
Okay, well, first of all, Kenny's just going to grab the bow tie. This might be relevant at some point because Theo disappeared and this is all that's left. I'm just going to hold on to this. I think Kenny feels a bit on his own. So Kenny's going to send out Hoops and jump on the back of Salazzle and say, Hoops, use agility. Weave your way past the Dark Ray towards Brandy.
So Salazzle, Hoops is out and is going to try an agility, create an advantage. Okay, roll plus speed for Salazzle.
Okay, so that's a plus 3 to speed.
Forgot
for
how many Pokemon Kenny still has left. My goodness. Okay.
I rolled a 4 and a 1. So plus a 3, it's an 8.
So that means
Stu gets an advantage and I get an advantage.
What advantage do you want to give Salazzle then?
I think I'll take the plus 1 going forward and we'll say that there is a sort of tactical advantage to being to being back with Brandy. It's the advantage of teamwork. It's
exactly. We're not singled out. It's like we're now a unit, a proper battalion.
I was going to say that my put them where you want them is going to be that actually the Dark Fray does grab Kenny's leg, even if Salazzle gets through.
Okay, that's fine.
That's fine. Is that fair? And so I'm going to put you where I want you, which is within Dark Fray's grasp. It's almost like it's that thing. Kenny forgets he's on the ground. And that moment of hesitation is enough for this tendril to go grab. And you see Frey's white face just lifting out of the sludge as it's wrapping itself firmly around your leg, twisting, pulling. Salazzle makes its way through.
Will you allow me this then, Stu?
Yeah, please. What?
Kenny sort of feels himself lurch back and chucks the bow tie and Hoops turns around, catches it in her mouth and continues to run towards Brandy.
This bow tie, we're going to zoom in on this bow tie, which Salazzle is holding, running towards
camera
Brandy.
Zooms in, like the bow tie's in Salazzle's mouth, and then the camera slows, goes into it.
Theo, let's work out where you are, because you've been warped into a mind palace. This is a mind palace from Kenny's blood that you've been put in indirectly, and that we've said Cresselia has gone to hide in. It's Cresselia's safest space for me was the original mind palace that it created, which would have been the Dora space where you met back in Baneful. And it's like it's like Cresselia has returned there, has summoned that to this, to the bow tie, and allowed itself to retreat
Dora's
to
dream
where,
world.
Yeah, to where it felt, where Cresselia felt most sure of their ideals and most sure of, like, this is the right thing to do. So Theo, you find yourself at the Mullet Farm. I don't think you can see Cresselia. I think you've never seen this memory before, Theo. Or have you? Actually, no, you have.
Have I?
Well, did you not in Raindance, when you were in Kenny's Mind Palace, did you not see Kenny summon this scene to reach for the golden berry and squeeze Scolipede down? So this is actually a scene, Theo, that you are familiar with. It's been a long time, but I think that was a significant enough moment in your life for you to go, okay, I think I see where this is. It's Mullet Farm. It's the berry picking fields out the back. and you see Dora, this small elfin-like waif, and this little waif-like girl who's, you know, in her overalls and is reaching into a bush, and she's going berry picking. And the only thing that you notice that is different about this scene from the one that you saw when Kenny summoned it initially is that the berries that that Dora is reaching for are not berries. They're like motes of light, and there are very specifically how many are there? There are.
How many phases in the moon cycle are there?
There's five. There's five. That's five's a good number. There's five. Yeah, no. Did you say phases of the moon? Because that looks, that's so cool. If that's, I don't know how many phases of the moon there are, but let's say there's five. And
the Formian moon.
Sorry, astronomers. I'm overruling you now. And it's five.
Yeah. Five in Formia, famously.
Yeah, the Formian moon. And Dora is reaching up and trying to grab these glowing motes of the moon, but her hand is just going through them and she can't get them. She's weirdly like, oh, just can't seem to grab them. So weird. Oh, hello.
God, I'm so bored of my name's dreamscapes. Dora Monop. Hi. Yeah, no, hi, I'm Theo. Hi.
I'm having a lovely day. My brother was supposed to come and help me pick some berries, but A, he's not here, and B, these aren't berries, so I'm just it's a bit weird, but it's okay.
Yeah, so you're aware that they're motes of light, but you are still trying to, children, patience.
Do you not want to touch them? I want to touch them.
I wouldn't recommend touching a mote of light that you've never seen before and don't understand.
It might feel funny, might vibrate or something.
Yeah, some funny feelings are good, and some funny feelings make a Poochyena summon a series of HMs and almost kill you. So I just that's a famous phrase that I got told. It's not specifically relevant to anything that's happened to me in the last five minutes.
Can I tell you a secret?
Gossip? Yeah, great.
Okay.
I'm going to kill you.
She moves her stepladder away from the bush and moves it over towards you, Theo, because you're quite tall, and just steps up and leans in your ear.
That's so cute. Jeez.
There's something else here. Something that's not normally here. They came here.
Of course there is.
Came here to hide, I think.
Okay.
Then and these motes of light, they appeared when the other thing came.
Oh, I know this is not going to be, but it doesn't happen to be Slowking, does it? That'd be really helpful if it was.
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
It just seems scared.
No, Theo, I'm gone. Gone forever.
It looks sort of like a pink crescent moony, like there is like yellow in it, and, you know, look, like if you could say celestial, if I was like old enough to understand what that word meant, that's kind of how I'd describe it.
Celestila.
Theo, I think, obviously Theo is aware of the existence of Cresselia as well as a concept. Like, we have spoken about it, we are aware of that, but also we did say that part of the conclave featured a design based off Cresselia.
The church is designed on the Cresselia design.
I think the word celestial makes Theo go, oh no. What? Okay, Dora, why don't we go and find this celestial creature?
Well, I think they're in there in these glowing lights.
Oh. Sure. And how? Okay. So, right. Let's go talk to the celestial moon goddess. I think that's really going to solve a lot of problems.
You hear the screams of Kenny and Brandy in the background.
Oh, great.
Of this.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay. Cresselia. Let's go talk to Cresselia.
Well, I can't touch him. Do you want to try touching one of them?
Why don't you bring a solution, Dora? Okay.
I barely exist. Like, I'm not even sure how real any of this
right,
is for me.
Fine. You keep picking your family berries, and I'll go talk to Cresselia then. Great.
That,
don't worry about it.
That works for me.
Cool.
That works
great,
for me. I mean,
thank you.
I can come with you. I can hold your hand if you're scared.
You know what?
I gave up
a tome so that you wouldn't be murdered, so I'd like some gratitude.
I've got a lollipop
like
in
there.
My overalls. It's slightly sucked, but you can
stop.
Have that if you
I'm
want.
Sorry, my patience has reached an end.
Okay.
I'm going to tell Kenny that his sister's an absolute loser when I'm seeing him next.
Gosh, I'm glad she's in a coma, am I right, Theo?
So you touch the moats?
Yeah.
I think she really wants you to touch the moats.
Just touch the moats!
Before you touch the moats, David, is there a skitty you can just siphon the soul out of first?
So wait, so the Cresselia is in the moats, not the bushes?
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's...
Okay,
Yeah,
sure. Then, yeah, I touch the moats. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a very impatient touch. It's not a well-thought-out touch. This is Theo just going, fine. Okay? Fine.
Okay. Do you know what, Theo? There's no vision. It's just a voice. It is slow. It's measured. It is celestial. It's weirdly reminiscent of a recent voice you've heard. It is not Slowking's voice, but there's something familiar about it.
Slowking wears us and feeds off us. I delight in Slowking's abandon, eager to let my knowledge flow into him. Drink from my cup and fulfill the dreams of this glorious land.
There is a break and the moon turns and the phases change. It's darker on this side.
I am concerned. Slowking wavers. My sibling weighs heavily on him. Great darkness. Twisted visions of the future. Slowking sees the nightmare, not the dream. But can Slowking not see? He cannot have one without the other.
The moon turns again.
Slowking abandons us. Curse my sibling. They push too hard, and now we are alone. My knowledge and dreams overflow. I must dispense with them. It pains me to hold them within.
Turns again.
A new bearer of the crown. A human. Norman. No. The power will be too great for you. Stop. I cannot lessen the impact. The pain to hold it in is too great. You will be cursed with the dreams and nightmares of an entire nation, Shaman. It will be done. You have destroyed this land.
And the moon turns to full.
I am alone, truly alone. My sibling is gone. Where? I wilt. I am ashamed. I must find a vessel. A boy? Yes, the boy from another time. He hid us once. He can hide me again.
Did those motes of light suggest what I thought they suggested? Just gonna listen back. Yep, I think they might have done. They suggested that this was the 100th episode of Critical Ditto. Well, of Brandy, Kenny and Theo. Anyway, need to exclude all the specials and the reflects. But still, the Sofloatzels made it 100 not out, which is something worth celebrating, I think. We were actually adamant that we would try to finish the story on this 100th episode, but as you can tell, we still got a couple more to go. I'm going to celebrate anyway, and the way I'm going to commemorate this achievement is by thanking all of our amazing partners in podcasting, our fabulous patrons. As we're almost at the end of the podcast, I'm going to thank everyone who has ever supported us. Tom did it by accident last episode, but actually, I thought it was quite a happy accident, so I'm going to do it too. So thank you. To Double J, Chief Werewolf, ooh, scary, Vivi89, Heidibug, Harvey, Gold Peekaboo, Alex Dominguez, Misjudged Plush, Chaos Goose, The Amazing Rezinki, Fushigadani, Daisy, Darren Ursa, Adrian Resendiz, Javon Wiseman, Julian Random, Nelson Orfevre, Official Anime Board Games TM, cool, Sarah McCormick, Dalton Fett, Here I Come, Bannon, Green Pikmin, Mew, Curtis Hovey, Joseph Tibbs, Freya, Lily Gilder, Rosie Skies Ahead, Christy, White Phoenix 52, Bloke Person, Mega Noodle, Nicholas Andre Rubio, Zachary Turing, Elena Mihailov, Mr. Man, Anorak, Purple Turkey, Lord Toffee, not that Nick, Anthony Robin Stanley, Brandon Wood, Carlton, Tommy Portillo, Aidan Clark, Inclusive Investor, Sandy Swain, Mark Smith, Brad Demon Dowker, Mike Cabbages, Dr. Rani, Jerembi's mum, DGZ, Ollie, Alex W, Crispy, Huxley Spicer, Beth Chivers, Jam, Heather L. Snell, Megan Taylor, Betty Lewin Lee, Ryan Teague, Darius Jakowski, Pokerdash 55, Audrey Resendiv, Ellie Lieberman, Jerembi, Turtle Lover 2244, Carrie Morrison, Martin Blackwood, Scott M, Dr. Megaman PhD, Haikili, Kaikopin Cosplay, Big Fat Nuke, Jonah Jackson, Trigula, Josh Anderson, Alchemage, Cesar Trevino, Force Majeure, Ryan Mitchell, Haunted the Vagabond, GGT, Crandon Creations, Eric Eichinger, Millamoy, Ginny Voss, and of course, Alastair Collinson. Wow, I wonder if that's as many patrons as it is episodes of Critical Ditto we've had. I'm not sure. But anyway, thank you so much to all of you for, at one point or other, supporting us and continuing to support us, possibly. It's overwhelming. As I said, we are nearly at the end of the podcast now, but we are less certain of the end of the Patreon. It might be that we continue to release specials or updates on there once the main story is done. Who knows? So if you wanted to join up to our Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/criticalditto. And if you don't want to become a patron, podcasts continue to exist forever, I guess. So ratings and reviews on podcast apps will help send new listeners our way, even when our heroes have hung up their metaphorical hero boots. As always, thank you to Michael Sands, the creator of the TTRPG Monster of the Week, the game system we have hacked for our show. Thank you to our usual music and sound effects team, Glitchek City, Academic Sounds, and Braxton Burks and the Materia Collective. Thank you to the Dream Team, Junichi Masuda and Satoshi Tajiri, who created Pokemon. We literally wouldn't be here without them. We are not affiliated with Game Freak, Nintendo, or the Pokemon Company. We are not-for-profit and fan-made. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. And thank you to David, Stu, and Tom for everything. Follow us on Twitter, at Critical Ditto, on Instagram, at Critical Ditto Pod, and join our Discord, details of which can be found on our Twitter page. As you'll know, I would normally sign off by telling you to go be the very best and be yourself, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to do something a little different. This is the last regular episode of Critical Ditto I will ever edit. It's right that the show is coming to an end, but it's also a little sad. I will miss this silly, beautiful show greatly, and improvising it with three awesome friends has been a constant creative outlet during a period of uncertainty and change. It's been a privilege to share it with each and every one of you. Kenny, Brandy, Theo, and all our Critical Ditto characters will always be here waiting for you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for choosing us.
Guys, what the hell is 4Kids?
Yeah, 4Kids.
It's the original dubbing company.
It's a dubbing company for anime.
Pokemon, One Piece, back in like, you know, 1999.
But like when they thought anime was for kids, so they would have to like re-edit them. So like anyone smoking would instead be having a lollipop.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And in Yu-Gi-Oh! They had an episode where they changed to bodyguards to just pointing their fingers at somebody and being yes. like, you're going to come with us. Yeah. It's like, I don't think that has an effect.
God, that intro was so much funnier than I realised. I didn't get
Sorry, that must have been so confusing. That must have been so confusing.
What an absolute schlew from Ali.
I was like, God. David and Tom have got some really weird pulls here. I mean, they're saying everyone else is laughing. I should probably laugh too.
I thought your reaction to the Safari joke, the Safari Zone joke, which wasn't that funny, was actually quite forced. And so it's good to know that that was being polite.
Ali, so you laughed at that, me and Stu didn't. And that's why we knew you were faking it.